everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. We have, in the last several months, had some wonderful gospel witnesses, and we have every reason to trust that these witnesses, the sowing of gospel seed, will bear much fruit. But we're not going to talk about those efforts today. If you want to read about what we've been up to, I think you might be encouraged if you checked out our newsletter, which is online at www.pccmonroe.net or .org. I understand you can go either way on that. I'm not a guy that's very good on the internet, I guess, but www.pccmonroe.net or .org. But as I said, today we're not going to talk about Pilgrim's Covenant Church and some of our outings in recent weeks. We are going to instead have a couple of short open-air ministry reports from our Christian brother Sean, who lives in Maryland. The particular ministry he's going to be speaking of took place in front of two different Christian, quotes around Christian, rock concerts. Now, over the years, our church has staged a number of open-air witnesses in front of such concerts, including Life Fest and Rock the River and Life Light, and a number of times in front of the Jesus People USA, huge multi-day Christian, I suppose, quotes around Christian, of course, but I suppose we could call it Woodstock, Christian Woodstock event called Cornerstone, which was one of those situations where thousands upon thousands of rock fans go to these events and camp right on the grounds for days. Life Light is the same sort of event. So is Creation Fest. We've talked about Creation Fest, done reports on that, on this Heart of the Matter. And at least one of the events Sean recently ministered in front of was a multi-day event. In fact, it was a Creation Fest event. If you're interested, you can find reports and in-depth analysis of a number of these horribly corrupted and corrupting events, that is, other Heart of the Matter programs we've posted concerning these various rock events, so-called Christian rock events. These reports are real eye-openers, both the documentation of these events, some of them, as I say, multi-day, some of them maybe one day, some of them big campouts, so to speak, and some of them maybe just one day. I think there might be some like that. Or I don't know if any of them are, but it may be only 2 or 3 days yet, but they're not sort of campout events. But whether they are or not, the thing is, there's much to learn from these reports. They're real eye-openers. And I'll just tell you this. This Christian rock scene is discipling young people in a spiritual and practical antinomian contempt of the Word of God. And also, and we've experienced this, inculcating into many of these young people a contempt. In some cases, I think we can say even hatred for Christians who cleave to the Word of God. I say we have experienced this. We have heard it. We have seen it. We've seen the contempt. We've seen the fury even from some of these young people when we've been in front of some of the events sharing the Word of God and standing up for the Word of God and also sharing the true gospel. And so those are good programs to listen to, and you can learn a lot about this very, very important subject, which is so corrupting a whole generation of young evangelicals. But what we're going to do now is we're just going to turn the program over, so to speak, the rest of the program to Sean, and we're going to let him encourage us with his reports. And they're pretty interesting, so I'd encourage you to listen.
My wife, Stephanie, and I had an opportunity to go out and to share the true gospel and to proclaim the Word of God at an event called Rockfest. In looking up Rockfest online here, I see that there is a secular so-called Rockfest that looks like it features all types of completely ungodly bands. But this particular Rockfest is called City Rockfest, and I suppose it mirrors all of those hard rocking rock and roll bands. This featured bands called Disciple, Nine Lashes, Seventh Day Slumber, and Deciphered Down. And these bands are all so-called Christian bands, and they all play very hard rock, even heavy metal. Just looking at the Rockfest picture online, you could even look it up yourselves. Between the four bands, each of the four bands are pictured, and between the four bands, there's 17 band members, and I think every one of them are in black. Many of them have earrings. I think most of them have tattoos. There's one individual with little handcuffs chained around his neck as if it were some type of necklace. Many of the men, these are all men, but many of them look effeminate with long hair. And just in looking at one of the bands here, Seventh Day Slumber, and looking at the picture closely, there are some type of flying organisms behind them in the picture, and it looks like they could maybe be supposed to be something angelic, but in zooming in, these are clearly some type of demonic beings. So there's flames throughout the whole picture. There's speakers. It's got a guitar right in the middle, and it's anything but godly. So we were led by the Lord to go out there. The event was in Columbia, Maryland, which isn't too far from us. And it was, I guess, the end of the tour. So the bands had gotten used to playing with one another. So we went out there, and thankfully the Lord allowed the word to go out. And the lead singer of the band called Disciple, apparently they've been around for quite some time, a couple decades anyway. His name's Kevin, and I went to Disciple's website and did a little bit of research on them. And some of Kevin's favorite bands were Bon Jovi and Metallica and AC/DC and those types of bands. There's different questions here that Kevin had answered on his biography, so to speak. What is your favorite stage move? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I have no idea what that is, but for each of the members in the band, they have those types of questions. So there's very little about Jesus on his biography. It's pretty much all about him, and I think that is prototypical of each of the band members at this rock fest. So we went out and proclaimed the word of God, and thankfully without any interference from police or other authorities, I had a loud megaphone. So despite the fact that there weren't too many people in line when we first got there, there were a number of people, I'm guessing maybe 100 or so, maybe not quite that many, that were inside the facility. They went in because they were VIP. In other words, they paid more money. Some of the VIPs we saw go in there were some girls, some young girls even, that weren't dressed in a modest fashion. And just the whole aura was completely ungodly. So we held scripture signs, and we had some tracts just in case anyone came near us. But we were able to preach. I was able to preach. Stephanie did not, for over an hour. And we praised the Lord for that. The Lord gave us a wide and effectual door. And the lead singer for Disciple actually came out along with some of the other band members. And they at one point in time, I was surrounded by maybe five or six guys that were expressing apparently some concern for what I was doing. We were there to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness and to share the true gospel and to be a savior of life unto life or of death unto death, depending on where these people were at spiritually. So they came out. One of the guys actually had a skirt on. One of the guys said, you know, what is our sin? And I you know, reminded him that there were a group of people in Jeremiah's day that said the same thing. And I had quoted to him, or I made reference to the fact that the Bible says that men shouldn't have long hair. And this particular individual had really long hair. And I said, have you ever read that? And he said, yes. And I said, well, there you go. I mean, we can start with that. That was the first thing that the Lord brought to mind. But again, this man had no concept of what he was doing wrong. Of course, I was preaching against worldliness. I was preaching for the right worship of God as it's revealed in the scriptures. And just calling this music out for what it was. And the lead singer of Disciple came out and he started to take a video. He actually stopped me in the middle of my preaching and said, can you please explain or even preach about what you find to be offensive about this music? So I happily did, and I had no intent of being put all over the internet, but that's what happened. He took a video. I read Ephesians 5, about 10 verses from that chapter, and then preached on it. And I explained that this festival was ungodly and that it was worldly and that it wasn't pleasing to God. And this video quickly went on the Facebook page for this band, Disciple. And I've got some comments here from those that follow Disciple. Even though there were maybe a few hundred people there altogether that heard the message at that time, there's now over 55,000 views for this video, so we praise God for that, that a portion of this message went out online. And despite the fact that most of the people, and as you'll hear through the comments, most of the people agree with Disciple and disagree with us, it doesn't matter, because we know that the Lord's accomplishing whatever it is that he wants through his word. So Kevin, again, the lead singer of Disciple, took the video. As he was taking the video, apparently TJ from Decipher Down came out and sang a song called Westboro. I had no idea that that was happening or that was the name of the song. Therefore, the people on this Facebook page believe that we're affiliated with the Westboro Baptist Church, which is not true. So anyway, Kevin put the video up, and he wrote from Matthew 5:12, and this is from a corrupted Bible translation. It's either the New Living Translation or the NIV. He says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Matthew 5:12. So here he's misapplying the verse. He's saying that I was saying all types of evil against him because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see how someone can take a scripture out of context and totally misapply it in this particular case. Actually, when these folks started to place their comments on Facebook and they were speaking evil about what I was doing, I would say that verse, of course, in its proper context and in its proper form and the authorized version of the Bible would have applied. So here's an example. I just took some of the comments here to share with you. Nicole said, was he trying to say that your music is too much of the world or something? I love Christian rock music. I've always been into rock music, so when I first heard it with a great message to boot, it was awesome. Keep on doing what you're doing. So Kevin wrote back, he was preaching an anti-Christian rock message, saying to not look or dance or sound like the world and that we are leading people to hell and preaching a false Jesus. We instead believe that music and dance are a gift from God that we also use as a vehicle to tell others about Jesus, and that God doesn't judge by appearance but by the heart. Well, I agree with that statement, but Jesus also says you'll know a tree by its fruits. So Blake quoted from the NIV, Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's ironic that Blake puts that verse up there, because I made reference to that verse at least one or two times during my message to them. So he goes on to say, "I've been to your shows, and Christ is preached and glorified. Keep rocking, my brothers, and I'll be praying for you." Here's a man named Greg. His icon here on Facebook is from the Hamilton Bikers Church. And Greg says, "I love Christian rock. It is my favorite music. When I am sad or depressed, I put on a Disciple CD and instantly I feel better. Thanks you all for all that you guys do for youth and other people. I am not a youth. I am 33 years old and am a pastor of my church and suffer from some sort of depression. But when I listen to your music, it really speaks to me and helps me keep up the good work. And God bless you guys." No punctuation there, but So Greg apparently is a pastor, 33 years old, and perhaps the pastor of Hamilton Bikers Church. Here's a young lady named Cassidy. On her Facebook page, she's actually drinking a beer and looking very zany, as most of the folks on here are. Cassidy says, okay, so we have those kinds of Christians saying stuff like that. It's nice to have people spread the word. However, that want and be on the word of God. But however, we should praise God however we want, whether it's pop, country, or heavy metal. But love you guys. I always admire your music since back again, CD Kevin. Okay, so apparently Cassidy says that we should worship God any way that we want. Here's someone called Roxas Demon Slayer. The picture of him is in a black robe. He's got black, long hair and dark sunglasses. And Roxas Demon Slayer says, doesn't this fool know that Jesus rocks? So then Angela goes on to say, so is anyone else? Now, I was close to the road. I was on a sidewalk, but there were cars going by. Angela says, so is anyone else secretly hoping he got hit by one of those cars? With love, of course. And Levi says, I would love to talk to this guy and ask him why he thinks that he can limit the music God can speak through. Well, I never said that. Here we've got a man named David. On his Facebook page, he's got a rainbow. And there were a few of those on this page. Apparently, these people are sodomite friendly. He says, I love the way that y'all combated his protesting. Genius. God bless you guys. Anna says, what an idiot. Again, in reference to me. This man, John Paul, says, it's sad to see this church so divided. Man, this guy so is in the dark about so many things. He goes on and says some other nonsense, but John Paul's picture is one of a superhero, some green fellow, perhaps, I don't know, the Green Lantern, but I'm so in the dark on these things. And next to him is an idol, someone that's supposed to be Jesus Christ. So that's where he's at. Jake says, be not like the world. In reference to my message, he says, doesn't the world also stand on the street and tell everyone that they are right and everyone else is wrong? And I don't know where Jake lives, but that's not the world that I live in. I just see lasciviousness and ecumenism and hypertolerance. And finally, Sean says, it was people with this mindset, like the mindset that Stephanie and I have, who persecuted Jesus. So I found that to be interesting. So it was a wonderful opportunity to go out, and I'm thankful that the Lord kept us safe in the face of adversity. And I thank you for the prayers of the saints, and we look forward to more opportunities of doing the same. My wife and I went to Mount Union, Pennsylvania, to get the word out at the Creation Festival. And this festival lasts 4 days. It starts on a Wednesday. It ends on a Saturday. We were able to get there for the Friday and Saturday portion of the festival. And we weren't really sure what we were getting ourselves into. As I said, the festival was at Mount Union. It was out on something called Agape Farms, which is a couple of hundred acres, privately owned. And while Stephanie had once attended this Creation Festival as a false convert in a youth group to an old church well over 10 years ago, that particular year it was not at Agape Farm. So we were unfamiliar with the territory. So heading up there, we weren't real sure what to expect, whether or not it would be pedestrian-friendly and whether there'd be any public areas for us to stand with scripture signs and do some preaching if the Lord had willed. So we were a bit nervous about that, but we did take it to the Lord, and the Lord answered in a big way. Getting there on Thursday night, we had found out that there was another evangelist there holding a sign, and they had sort of separated, and they gave him like a designated area that he was allowed to be in, and that was right at the front gate where the majority of the cars were coming in and out. So Stephanie and I were there on Friday morning with our scripture signs, and our scripture signs included many scriptures that they certainly weren't hearing on the inside of this this ecumenical festival. You know, just signs about repentance, the need for repentance, We did have a sign with Matthew 3:7, warning, flee the wrath to come. We also had a sign from Matthew 7:15, to beware of false prophets. And we had a sign from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to examine yourselves and see that you be in the faith. We felt that these signs pertain, certainly, to the people that were coming to the festival. So we were able to stand in that area. Originally, we had parked about half a mile away from there down a hill, and we parked the car down there and then carried all of our signs and our cooler that we had all the way up the hill, and stood there for about 4 hours on Friday morning into the early afternoon. And many cars went by, and there were some parking attendants close to our area, and they realized that we weren't there to condone what they were doing, but that we were there as a rebuke. And one of the parking attendants became vocal. We were expressing our disdain for the fact that the Roman Catholic Church is a false church at best, and how any church that yokes with it, or any organization that yokes with it, is an abomination to the Lord. And he insisted that that this festival had nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. And so I asked him, well, then why is there a Catholic Mass every day? And his answer was a quick, well, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was this gentleman's answer to the question regarding the ecumenical nature of Creation Fest. The same man later on, as I was quoting some scripture with regard to individuals not wanting to hear the law of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 30, that this is a rebellious people, lying children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And as I was continually quoting more of that, this man who had a whistle in his mouth because he was using it to direct traffic blew the whistle as loud as he could and plugged his ears with his fingers. And him doing that was a testimony to the very scripture that we were referring to at that particular time. So he wanted nothing to do with the Word of God. And the same went for a couple of antagonists that approached us. One man claimed to be a pastor, or he was once a pastor, apparently at a Pentecostal church. And he kept on telling me that the Bible says to judge not. And I quickly got the Bible out of my pocket and said, okay, well, can we look at some more scriptures together? And he insisted that he has read the Bible and he knows what it says, and that it says to judge not. And I continually asked him if we could get into the Bible together and look at some more scriptures apart from that. And he just became more and more cantankerous. And the young man that was with him was so upset that we were there to reprove what was happening, and became out of control. And I offered to read the Bible with him, and he insisted that he didn't want to talk to us, which was ironic because they were the ones that walked a pretty good distance to come over and to approach us and to communicate with us. So they wanted nothing to do with what the scriptures said. So we had that encounter. You know, we also did hear some of what was happening on Friday evening on the main stage. We were there Friday morning for about 4 hours, and then we took a short break and then went back on Friday afternoon and evening, and we could hear much of what was going on. And we heard Brian Campbell, who apparently is some type of worship leader. In looking him up online, we see that he's grossly ecumenical at best. And we heard him giving a very rudimentary, at best, gospel presentation, watered-down gospel, easy believism, nothing about repentance, nothing about having to surrender much of anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, and just kept on using the phrase, encounter Jesus, and was asking who at the festival wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. Just reminded the folks there that God is capable of doing miracles and doing healings. So there was a little bit of a charismatic hint to what he was saying. And he invited people to come up for, I guess, some sort of altar call. And then even after another 30 seconds went by or so, it sounded like he was even coercing them to do so. So I don't know how many people came forward that night, Friday night, but in talking to one of the staff there, we were told that 259 people on Wednesday night, which would have been the first night, had given their lives to Christ. And so we know 259 from the first night, and that was probably a light number compared to later in the week, Thursday, Friday. And so we had our scripture signs, and we were there for about 7 hours, and we estimated probably about a car a minute went by. So, you know, over maybe between 400 or 500 cars, with anywhere between one and maybe 8 to 10 people inside of these larger vans, saw our scripture signs. There were some locals, people that lived in the area, that were actually very encouraged. A couple came by and stopped and talked about, they sort of expressed their displeasure over the Creation Fest and just how it wasn't of God. And so that was nice that they were encouraged and that they stopped and encouraged us and what we were doing. And we sort of drove around on Friday night to get a better feel for the place. And we did realize that there was an area where we could kind of get into the festival without having to pay. And it looked like a public road. It really wasn't put together very effectively. So we just drove down this public road and saw an area where there were many pedestrians. And that other evangelist that I mentioned earlier was down there. He ended up having some false doctrine, but we did talk to him for a while, and then thought that we'd maybe do some preaching on Saturday down in that area, because there was a pretty good crowd, and even as we were talking to that evangelist, a number of young people sort of gathered around during that time. So that was our plan for Saturday. However, there was a torrential downpour on Saturday, and many of the people that were at the festival were leaving. There was only a few left, and it didn't seem to have stopped raining for several hours. I think it started around midnight on Saturday morning, and it was going at least until the evening on that day. So I think the majority of the people had left the festival. Like I said, we did want to do some preaching, so we found an area where there was sort of an overlook. We were up on this hill, and there were a number of tents and a number of campers and a number of people. It looked like there was some type of game going on, some sort of football, maybe touch football game going on one end, and then there was a number of people sitting like under a tent on another end, and that was a good time for me to get the horn out. I've got this loud megaphone. You can hear it for quite a distance. So I got the horn out and was able to preach for a short time until staff came along and asked us to leave. Preached for maybe 7 or 8 minutes, and was able to come against the worldliness and the godlessness of the festival itself. Was able to come against sodomy, which I suspect was not being preached against at this festival, despite the fact that the Supreme Court had just made their ruling to legalize it in all 50 states, and was able to preach against Catholicism and the ecumenical movement, United Methodist Church, hit a number of issues during that time, and just followed the Lord's leading there. And people were gathering around. There was a lot of people that were curious as to this preaching that was happening, and that was a great opportunity, a nice small window there for the Lord to get the word out in verbal form through the preaching of the gospel. So that was our weekend, and we were thankful for all the prayers of the saints and for that opportunity. God bless.